You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, it's time for Fast Track. We do this every day. It's back, one of our favorite parts of the show where we ask questions at each other. They don't necessarily have to do with sports. Most of them do. It always starts with a ceremonial coin flip. All right, here we go. Momo, heads, the Lakers shocked the Pelicans and beat them for the eighth straight time. Tails, New Orleans takes advantage of the fact that the Lakers have all their best guys hurt. Call it in the air.
Oh, I think the Lakers are winning. I think the Lakers win this one. They got their number and they know all their guys and yeah.
Momo wins.
Momo wins. Oh, yeah. A rare loss for me. All right, Ramona, you want to go first or you want to defer?
I will defer.
No advantage goes with that. Yeah. Okay, here we go. All right, guys. I'm curious what you think about this. A few days ago, Steve Kerr did a podcast with Logan Murdoch about what the last few years have been like as the coach of the Warriors. Drew Schiller, who is a former Stanford basketball player and now covers the Warriors for NBC Bay Area, listened to that podcast and then tweeted this, quote, Steve Kerr told Logan Murdoch he enjoyed last season when the Warriors went 15-50 more than Kevin Durant's final season with the Warriors. Quote, that last year was tough. There was a lot going on, some you know about and some you don't. That was very difficult, end quote. Kerr was furious that Schiller tweeted that he contextualized the comment and made it about Durant. Steve says he was talking about everything, not just Kevin. He took the unusual step of calling out Schiller in his pregame press conference last night, even though he was never asked about it. Here's how Kerr started his press conference.
To take that comment and put it into a tweet and send it out into the universe was so irresponsible and damaging. And I'm angry. And I know what's going to happen. I know this is going to be taken out and onto the morning shows and people are going to be talking about it. And they're going to use what they think is a quote that is actually something that's completely made up. I'm not happy.
All right, Ramona, you first. Are you surprised Steve got this upset over this? And did he draw more attention to it by bringing it up?
No, I'm not surprised he got this upset by it because this is one of the things I've learned about Steve. Steve had our job. John,
right.
he was a broadcaster
for a lot
he
of
knows.
Years.
Yeah, and he worked for TNT, he knows the whole game. And I think what he's upset about is like he knows when somebody is doing the gotcha thing, you know, like he knows like that was a whole conversation he was having. He explained himself in context. That's why I like doing radio with you, because I feel like when I make a point, we're talking about it for 5 minutes. It's not just like one quote. And then when you get taken out of context and it's one thing that gets twisted around and into something weird, like it's upsetting because you took the time to give the whole context, right? So what Steve's saying is he really liked the growth and development last year. He liked that aspect of it, and I know exactly where he's coming from. He's not trying to diss Kevin Durant.
Michael, were you surprised that Steve got that upset?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he didn't want to I guess he has so much respect for Durant. He didn't want Durant to think, well, geez, he hated me being there. He hated coaching me.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't fun when I was there. So I guess that's why he had to come out and defend himself or try to clear things up for Kevin Durant's benefit. Because
I know Steve pretty well. I know you guys do too. All three of us know Steve. And for him to do that is an extraordinary step.
Yeah.
He's not that guy. He's not the guy that like yells at the media. He's actually probably one of the most media friendly coaches ever in the NBA. And by the way, Drew Schiller came out last night and said, Steve Kerr was right to call me out. I should have provided more context. I've heard some people say today that Kerr did say those words, so he shouldn't be taking them back. But I think Steve, in general, guys who played in the league like Kerr did, don't like it when you try and attach something to somebody. Durant at one point said, this is hilarious. He tweeted after he saw that quote.
What did he mean by that?
I think what he meant is I can't believe Kerr's calling me out.
Oh,
and then Kerr said, well, I'm not.
Yeah.
And so that's why he did that. Well, Momo, it's to you.
Okay, it's to me. All right. Well, I'm doing this one because Michael's here. All right, I'm going to lead with this one. I have three or four more other questions.
Okay.
But members of Evander Holyfield's team say Mike Tyson rejected a $25 million guarantee to fight Holyfield on May 29th at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida. The two sides have been in talks for months about getting Tyson and Holyfield in the ring after Tyson fought an exhibition against Roy Jones Jr. last year. Holyfield seemed to be the next opponent for Tyson, but he indicated he would be, interested in doing it, but it fell apart. We were in a quote from his, from Holyfield's manager. We were negotiating good faith all along, and it appears we just ended up wasting our time. Michael, I'm going to start with you on this, and John can chime in too here. Would you want to see Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson fight again?
Sure. I would watch it and expect it to be. I don't expect it to be Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua, but for two old guys getting back in the ring again, sure, I'd watch it. Sure. I'd be curious.
54-year-old Mike Tyson.
Sure. Just accept it for what it is. It's not going to be Ali Frazier, but I'd watch it.
58-year-old Evander Holyfield.
Yeah. Who was it that fought Tyson the last time? Was it Roy Jones?
Roy Jones Jr.,
It's like they had an agreement not to hurt each other
before
that fight.
Right.
How many times are you going to fall for the same thing?
Oh, come on. It's all part of the show and entertainment.
Yeah, but that was no show, Roy Jones and Tyson.
It was funny because Snoop was on there commentating. You had a rap concert going on at the same time. It was all right.
Yeah.
It was all right. And you're right. Maybe Tyson is worried that it is going to be a real fight with Holyfield. Because you're right, Ireland. You could tell that Tyson was kind of pulling his punches against Jones.
54 and 58. I don't want to see anybody old hit
Ramona,
in the face.
If there was an exhibition right now, wouldn't you sit down? Wouldn't you like to watch Chrissy and Martina play each other one more time?
Yeah, but that's
there
not.
There you go.
Yeah, but that's not like hitting each other in the face.
Well, but they're both old, so they can't hurt each other.
Yeah, they're going to hurt each other. I don't
you know.
Like two old people fighting,
two old uncles fighting at the picnic.
Okay, that I would pay to see. Yeah. That would be fun. But
all right, it's to me.
All right.
A couple of weeks ago we had a story. Did you guys see this about Tom Cruise and deep fake technology?
No.
Somebody created a video of Cruise doing and saying things that he never did. It was all done by technology.
Wow.
They made they used technology to recreate his face,
mm-hmm.
and then they used his actual voice and put it in a computer and had him say a whole bunch of stuff out of context. It looks and sounds completely real. Well, here's how that's dangerous. A woman outside Philadelphia has a daughter on a cheerleading team at her high school. This mom wanted her daughter to move up on that team, so she used deepfake technology and created videos of three of the girls ahead of her daughter vaping, drinking alcohol, and getting naked at a party.
Whoa!
Her goal was to get the three girls kicked off the team, and that way her daughter would move up. But it didn't work. The three girls insisted they never did that stuff. They traced the IP addresses of the videos, and now this 50-year-old mom has been charged with three counts of cyber harassment of a child and three counts of harassment in general. So here's my question. Should the government take oversight of this deepfake technology, regulate it like they do with TV and radio stations? You can use it, but you would need a license. And if you abuse it, you would lose your license. Is that a good idea, or am I overreacting to that deepfake stuff? Ramona, you first.
Yeah, I really don't like that stuff. I think that's really dangerous. Like, to me, first of all, the mom is that's wild that she would try that with her kids. But to me, it's I really don't. I think the government needs to regulate a lot of this stuff because, you know, we already have people who impersonate people online all the time, and that's really dangerous. Have you heard about some of this stuff that goes on? They could totally ruin your whole reputation and credit history, or they can ruin your online.
Well, and in this case, it would be Michael, it could be a video of Clay doing or saying something that he never did or said.
Exactly.
I don't like a lot of laws, lot of regulation, but I almost think that they have to regulate this stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I'm just glad another didn't call Jeff Galooly. You know what I mean? If people remember that guy.
Yeah, Google him. You know, that's the one who arranged Nancy Kerrigan to get clubbed in the knee.
Yeah, Tanya's husband at the time. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's dangerous. That's fraud. You're committing fraud. So, yeah, the government's got to do something about that.
All right, Ramon, it's to you.
Okay. Track. All right, the longest losing streak in the NBA came to an end last night when the Rockets finally got a win. They snapped their 20-game losing streak with a 117-99 win over the Raptors, who actually now have the longest losing streak in the NBA at 9 games. After the game, Calvin Murphy, he's the broadcaster for the
Right, we know
Rockets.
Calvin.
There's a really fun video of him in studio, like, dancing. The sideline reporter, Kaylee Griffin, says, "I'm crying actual tears. It's a party. It's a party." Michael, John, should the Rockets be this happy that they finally got off the schneid here? Should they be this happy that they got that win? Or is this like, you lost 20 in a row, man?
It's a fair question, but Michael, the reason I'm glad that they were excited and they did enjoy it is that I felt really bad for Steven Silas. I don't know if you guys saw the video of Silas game before that. Some reporter asked him, "Hey, is all this losing getting to you?" And Silas was just despondent. He may even have been crying behind his mask. And he couldn't even answer the question. He just goes, "Yeah." So it's his, you know, Michael, the guy's lost 20 games in a row.
Yeah.
You could tell it was really getting to him. He's a first-year head coach. Go ahead and celebrate a little. I have no problem with it. How about you?
Yeah, after 20 losses in a row, have a little fun with it and celebrate like you just won. Celebrate like a baseball team when they clinch a division spot or a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Pop champagne. How ridiculous is that?
Well, I've argued that with Mason for years.
Me too.
That you don't see basketball players or football, but you don't see football players when they win
the
divisional playoff game going crazy. And Mason's thing to me. Well, Greg, you're like this. You're in favor of teams celebrating division titles.
And making the playoffs, right?
In baseball, yeah, because it's a 162-game season.
So?
A long road. I'm okay with you celebrating.
I'm okay with celebrating making the playoffs. That's fine. You clinch the division, you make
the
playoffs.
But they do champagne showers, Ramona, after they win the wild card game.
That's the one I don't get. That's the one I was like,
what's the difference?
Can I tell you a little story time, a fast story time with Momo?
Yeah.
I had no idea they did this. And then in 2009, I was covering the Dodgers. They beat the Cardinals, okay?
You wreck your outfit?
I had no idea. I wore a wool sweater down to that locker, that clubhouse, okay? And I walk in there, and they're like, "You're wearing that to the clubhouse?" I go, "Yeah, why?" And they go, "They're going to have the champagne and all that." I go, "What? After they won the division? Who cares about that?"
Yeah.
Right? Like, why are they celebrating like this? Like,
yeah.
I didn't get it. I had no change of clothes. So I just had to, like, wing it. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to get all gross. I got so – it was disgusting. Like, I mean, so much champagne on this wool sweater.
Did the sweater survive it, or did you just get rid of it?
I threw it away. Yeah. I had to – and you know what? Like, some clubhouse attendant – I can't remember his name now. He gave me a shirt to wear so I could write my story afterwards so I didn't have to, like – sit in that thing the whole time. It was so gross. And then there was like Manny Ramirez came by. After they run out of champagne, you know what they do?
Beer.
They open up whatever's in the fridge and they just start pouring. You know what they had left?
Coke.
Milk.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
So Manny Ramirez comes around with the milk and I'm like, oh, God, this is just,
Yeah. It's overkill.
Yeah, I'm with you, Michael. I've never understood it. But baseball players won't give it up.
No.
Every time we've had baseball managers and coaches and players, and they say, "Nope, we're going to celebrate." That's the way they're going to do it. Okay, that's it for Fast Track.
Okay.
Coming up next, Kirk Goldsberry is going to join us, the ESPN NBA analyst. He's got a crazy idea, Michael, that I want you to hear that could change the competitive balance of the whole league.
I like it.
So we'll talk to Kirk.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up. All right, Mason Ireland Show. Ramona Shelburne's in for Mace. Michael Thompson's hanging out with us. And we're leading you right up to 3 o'clock. 45 minutes from now, Lakers pregame. Lakers in New Orleans tonight to take on the Pelicans. The Lakers have defeated the Pelicans 7 games in a row, but it'll be hard to do it tonight with no LeBron and no AD. We'll find out. coming up here in a couple hours. But to help us talk NBA is Kirk Goldsberry, who is an NBA analyst for ESPN. And Kirk, thank you for coming on. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
We're doing great. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on is you were a guest on Pablo Torre's ESPN Daily podcast. And Michael, you're going to this idea is really interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't think Laker and Clipper fans are going to like it, but that doesn't make it any less interesting. Kirk, you were talking to Pablo about how to make the league more competitive. And you pointed out that most of the free agents, the big stars who are building these super teams, are doing them in major markets like New York. Brooklyn is New York's the number one market in the country. L.A., the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George, the Lakers with LeBron and AD, that's the number two market in L.A. They're going to the coasts. Like, they're not signing any free agents in Milwaukee and Oklahoma City. And you came up with an idea called the mega contract that I'll have you explain. If you took this idea and ran with it, how would it work?
Well, long story short, there is sort of a max contract allowable by the current rules called the super max colloquially, but it's really a player like LeBron James, the absolute cream of the crop, can earn about 35% of the salary cap. So if the salary cap's $100 million, you pay him about $35 million.
Right. So Kawhi and
that allows is multiple guys can make multiple guys on one team. Can make that same amount.
All right, so basically, Michael, the way this would work would be you would allow one player to make up to 50 to 55% of the cap. So because guys like LeBron are really underpaid, you know, LeBron takes you to the finals every year. So he would be able to make more money. But Kirk, the bad news would be if he's taking that much of the cap, each team, the end result would be each team would only have one star, right?
Yeah, essentially, because the current rules allow you to have, like, James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving on one cap sheet. And if you didn't have that max salary, long story short, LeBron's salary is artificially constrained.
Right.
If you look at European soccer, mm-hmm. you see guys making 2, 3, 4 times as much as LeBron did.
And he's probably worth that. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you really look at his production over the next great superstar, right? Or there's probably only, 5, 6 guys in the league who are worth that, but they probably are worth $50 million, and they don't get it. So it's interesting to think about it because if you did that, then you would not be able to have LeBron and AD, though. So it would almost be a choice for these superstars. Do you want to make what you're really worth, or do you want to be part of a super team?
And Kirk, the other question I would be, like, obviously the small markets would love it. The big markets that have all the stars now would hate it. Would the players go for it? Do you think the players would vote for it?
No.
Why, Michael?
Well, certainly.
I wouldn't.
No. Yeah,
I wouldn't because I'm not LeBron. I'm not KD. So if LeBron gets 50 or player X gets $50 million, and I'm, say, like the third best player on the team, second best, that means I got to settle for 8 or 9 because now I can't make 25 because he's making 50. No. So the rank and file would have to take a major pay cut for about one guy to get all that money? No, I ain't doing it.
So, Kirk, respond to that. Would the players vote for it?
No, because Michael's exactly right. A players' association that includes 500 guys is not going to vote for something where a huge chunk of that money now goes to 4 or 7 guys, while the other 490-something are going to be penalized for
right.
it. So I think in terms of being pragmatic, it's unlikely to pass through a players association that rightly looks out for the rank and file members. That said, I do think when we're looking at the distribution of talent around the league, the suppression of the salaries at LeBron, Kawhi, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry level, Dame Lillard level, that suppression of the money they're able to make is enabling the super team phenomenon. Sort of an unnatural sort of a conglomeration of super talents in a few select markets, while a lion's share of less glamorous markets are losing these things. So the last point I make, John, is that, you know, when you look at the guys currently occupying these super team rosters in Los Angeles and New York, all of them were drafted in much less prestigious markets. Kawhi was drafted into San Antonio, Oklahoma
right,
City,
right.
For Durant. And all these guys migrate, and they have every right to. I would, too, if I were them, to go to Los Angeles. What a life. But I think in terms of talent distribution, that's the question I'm really interested in. How do we optimize the distribution of superstar talent around the league so every franchise feels like they got a shot?
Well, what you do is what Milwaukee did. You draft a franchise player, and you make him so comfortable and happy there that he doesn't need to go to New York or L.A. He can stay in Milwaukee like Giannis has done and surround him with solid players to give him a chance to win a championship. Draft smart around your franchise player. That's what you do.
But, Kirk, when you were on with Pablo, you made the point that's all they can do, right? That those small markets would counter. That's the only way we can build a winner is through the draft, right?
Yeah, you guys are both right. Giannis is still 26 would be my counterpoint, and a lot of these guys don't move until they're 27, 28. Mm. You know, he just got extended, but that doesn't mean a trade demand couldn't come in a year or two. We know this now.
Yeah, like Luka. Luka's never going to leave Dallas because they'll make him comfortable and happy there.
Hey, Michael, you want to bet dinner on that, Michael?
Yes. Yes. You think Luka's going to – so he's got one big one coming up. You think by the third his third contract he's out of Dallas?
If I'm putting money on it, I don't think Luka stays his whole career in Dallas. Hmm. The numbers don't support it. One of the stats in the piece I wrote was that before 2010, like 7 out of 42 Finals MVP had won that award after switching teams. 7 out of 42. Since then, 8 out of 10 have done it.
Wow.
The best players in the league are changing teams more than ever before. It's a brand new era. And you guys in Los Angeles are benefiting from this,
right?
Seeing a lot of these small market superstars getting frustrated, including Anthony Davis and LeBron James in small markets who weren't really optimizing their careers. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Luka spends his whole life in Dallas. That would be great for me. But I wouldn't put my money on it, Michael.
What I think is interesting, Kirk, is this is the NBA has a CBA negotiation that's going to come up in a couple of years here. And I know the small market owners are not happy about the super. They haven't been happy about super teams since for a while now. Right. This isn't anything new. But that is something that they could bring up, or they could push for a hard cap. There's a couple different ways to do it. You could do what you're talking about, or you could do a hard cap. Right. And it's interesting that, like, do you think the small market teams will push for that? Because there's a lot more of them now, right? It's not just one or two loud voices in the room. There's a lot of small market teams that feel this way.
Yeah, I think they're going to raise some hell, Ramona. I think they will, because, like, the long story short is that it's very difficult. You have to grow your own food, as Michael correctly pointed out. All you got to do is draft Giannis and then keep him happy for 20 years and you're good. And a team like the Spurs was able to do that with Tim Duncan, right? They did achieve this. But, you know, there's a lot of counterexamples out there, from Oklahoma City losing all of those guys, and Paul George jumping around, and then Los Angeles. The question is, will the small market teams feel comfortable in their ability, as incumbent teams, to keep their best young draft picks throughout their prime? And there's a couple things you can do. You can extend that early window so you don't have to extend them so early in their career for that long contract. Or you can give them more power, more knobs and levers. You can give them two additional years or more money to pay those incumbent superstars so that they're less tempted to go elsewhere.
Kirk, I wouldn't change a thing. You know why? Did you just read what Adam Silver put out the other day about a $75 billion 9-year TV deal that the league is seeking? So, but, Kirk, if they pull that off, that's $277 million a team, and that means salaries are going to go through the roof.
You know, that's what I love about Michael. He sees the game from so many different areas, from being a dad, number one pick,
right.
You know. But, yeah, the owners, the small market owners aren't going to be that mad if they see that check coming, Ramona, right? If they get the media, right? How mad can you be about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're talking to Kirk Goldsberry, who is an NBA analyst for ESPN. Hey, Kirk, while we have you here, Michael and I are not nervous yet. Even though LeBron and AD are both out, we're kind of looking at this as glass half full, that they're going to get LeBron and AD back in plenty of time, and they are still the team to beat coming out of the West. You're looking at this more from a national perspective. Do Michael and I have it right, or are we looking at the world through purple and gold colored glasses?
No, you're looking at it right. Assuming those guys come back at full strength, from what we've seen, they're the best team in the league. And that's an assumption. But, you know, they are in bad shape without those guys. If you look at the stats, and I put this on Twitter the other day, it's pretty shocking. The Lakers are a negative team without LeBron James on the court for the entire year. And so they're going to have to fight to maintain a decent playoff spot. I mean, there's some people saying they might even have to play their way into the postseason bracket this year if they fall a lot. So they could have a hard path in front of them after this stretch without LeBron and AD. But assuming they get them back, they are a phenomenal defensive team and a very good offensive team. And they are as dangerous as anybody in the NBA, period. So, yeah, I'm terrified. I don't want to see the Lakers in the first round, no matter what my feat is, if those guys are coming back healthy.
So, Kirk, if you guys don't follow him on Twitter or watch his pieces on NBA Countdown, does these really cool graphics and shot charts, and he breaks stuff down. He had one the other day about LeBron James and how good of a scorer he is compared to literally everyone else in his age cohort, right? His generation. Can you sort of explain that on the radio? Because it was a pretty staggering visual.
Yeah, so I graphed every active player in the NBA, and the x-axis is how many total minutes you've played, and the y-axis is how many total points you've scored. And there is 500 dots on the chart, and there's this one dot way off. By itself, and it's not Kevin Durant, it's not Carmelo Anthony, who are also doing pretty well. It is LeBron James, who has been both the most proficient scorer we've seen since Karl Malone and the most durable athlete in the NBA since then by a wide margin. And I think that graphic, Ramona, does a really good job of just reminding people, not only has this guy been around a long time, he's been extremely durable and extremely productive in ways that nobody else, even in his draft class, Carmelo Anthony, can't hold a candle to what LeBron's been able to do in terms of sheer number of minutes he's played basketball in the NBA and amount of points he scored.
Kirk, your stuff is really good, and we appreciate you coming on and talking us through this. And we hope to have you on again sometime, hopefully when the Lakers are waltzing through the playoffs, if everything goes the way we want it to. Thank you for doing this, man.
Thanks, Kirk.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, see ya. That's Kirk Goldsberry from ESPN. Coming up next, how's the ESPN LA Bracket Challenge going? Not as well as many of us would like. We'll explain that to you. Game of games still to come. Michael's game today. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Mason Ireland Show. Michael Thompson's here. Ramona's here. Mason's off for his birthday. And we decided to do a bracket poll this year. And there have been more upsets in the NCAA tournament than any other tournament ever. I mean, the lower seeds have never done as well as they're doing now. And so we thought we would check in on the bracket. And when you look at how some of these so-called experts at ESPN are doing, Ramona, it's a little discouraging. The leader of the ESPN LA Bracket Challenge is George Sedano. He's doing well. All right. Followed by Dr. Clapper. And then Keyshawn Johnson and me are tied for third. Okay. Oh, and Travis is in there too. Travis and Max are tied with us. So Key, me, Travis, Max. Then it goes Sliwa, LZ, Clinton Yates, Bergman. Bergman, your bracket is terrible, except you the one thing that makes you look a little smart is that you picked UCLA to win the whole thing.
Right, but I also have a bunch of Pac-12 teams in the Sweet 16, so I actually have all of, like, I think I got all four, right?
Now, surprising, but just 10 points behind you is Michael Thompson. And Michael, you took Gonzaga, so you're still alive to have the champion. But here is the bottom five. Steve Mason,
yes,
Scott Kaplan, Lindsey Fulton, Laura Romo, and Chris Morales. That is, and then Ramona, yours did not show up on here.
I know. I'm in there. I'm okay. I'll read you mine.
How many points do you have?
Right now I have 330.
All right, so you would be tied. You'd be
with
10 points. Oh, you'd be tied with Bergman. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
And 10 points better than Michael.
I did good on a couple of things. I had USC and let's see, my Sweet 16. I did have Gonzaga. I did not have Creighton. I had USC and Oregon, so I had that. Okay. Michigan, yes, but I had Georgetown, not Florida State. That wasn't so good. I did not have UCLA. I did have Alabama. Yes to Baylor. The bottom half of my bracket is just absolutely
awful. The bottom half.
All I have is Houston.
Awful.
Yeah.
So it's awful. Got me to thinking. There should be a moral to the story. Michael, if you had to take betting advice from one person at 710 ESPN, who would you trust? Mm. Or did Michael leave? Okay.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. He comes and goes. Ramona, how about you? What's the answer to that question?
Betting advice, I would usually go with, I think Bronny is really good at stuff like that.
He plays fantasy. He's leaving. He's going to work for the Rams.
I know. He plays fantasy sports. He's pretty good. And I think, like, I don't know. Generally, you're pretty good at betting. I think you're good.
No, those are the wrong answers. Me and Bronstein, the wrong answer. Greg, who would you turn to?
Myself. I'm the one that wins all of these things.
What are you talking about? You're in like 12th place.
When we did Mythical Money, I won before I left.
You were one field goal away from losing to me.
Doesn't matter. A win is a win, and I won by a lot. And then in our picks against the spread on Sedano and LZ, I destroyed everybody.
The answer here is clearly you guys just missed the entire point of this bit. The answer here is Dr. Clapper.
Yeah, true.
Dr. Clapper, who doesn't follow sports the way we all do, is in second place behind Sedano. Filling out brackets. The guy went to medical school. He surfs. He's an expert sculptor. That's who you go to. That guy's got like the Midas touch. Seriously. Clapper has 390 points. He's 10 points ahead of me and Keyshawn. That's who I would turn to for financial advice. I think that's the guy you go to.
Yeah, you're right. He's good. He knows a lot about a lot.
But most
people, we know who not to. You don't go to Mason. Ever.
Yeah. I play in a fantasy sports with Mason. He's really bad. The only thing I've ever seen Steve be really good at is poker. He is actually good at poker. I played with him.
Yeah, I've outlasted him in the last two Mason and Ireland poker tournaments.
Really?
Mason,
so you're probably better. Okay.
Mason is bad at any competitive venture. You know, like
he always comes up with his own system. I got my own numbers here, Momo. Yeah. I got my own things, and then you know he has been good. Like I think I played in the. You're going to totally play this for him tomorrow, aren't you, Morales? Okay. I've played in this fantasy baseball league with him. Every year except for one, I've done better than him. And the only year he did better than me, he wanted me to trade him all my good players. Like, hey, I have a chance to win this thing.
Yeah,
come on.
I think he roped Lindsay into being part of that competitive baseball
good,
league.
Were you guys making fun of my bracket?
Yeah, because, we figured that you would do better. I mean, you played the game.
Yeah, but I had all Big Ten teams going all the way.
Yeah, me too.
So
yeah,
I stuck with my conference. Hey, Momo, getting back to the NBA, is that true, $75 billion for 9 years?
Well, the NFL just got that's wishful thinking. So the NFL just got $100 million for 10 years. So that's, you know, it's kind of the same.
Yeah.
That's kind of the same ballpark. But I would argue the NFL is more valuable because they have more exclusivity, right?
Yeah.
Like they have two separate nights where you're the only game in town. When you have Thursday night football, it's the only game that day. And you have Monday night football, it's the only game.
But let's say they get it, Ramona. That's $277 million. That means guys like LeBron will be making $60 million a year, right?
Yeah, they could.
But don't they deserve it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not begrudging him. I'm just talking about how much the salaries could go up. I mean, the minimum, like the league, let's see, the league average would probably be $15 million a year.
Well, yeah. Michael, when you were the first pick in the draft in 1978.
Yeah.
What did you make your first contract?
Oh, I'm embarrassed to say, even though I would take that salary today, of course. $250,000 a year for 5 years.
You were the first pick in the draft.
$250 a year.
And what did Anthony Edwards get this year, roughly?
He's probably making $10 million a year to start.
Wow.
Yeah,
and so if this happens, if this $75 billion thing happens, the number one pick
will get $20 million to start his career, just to start his career. And
Ramona?
That's good.
Yeah.
when this show's over, I want you to go get a basketball and stick it in Daniel's hands.
Seriously.
And do not let him let go of it until he's
I'm way ahead
what do you
of
think,
you.
Michael, 17?
I'm way ahead of you.
Now, he'll make the choice, Ramon, but what sport would you, at 16 years old, would you like to see him concentrate on? What would be your wish?
So, I mean, I love baseball.
Yeah.
I think soccer is the one that
no money
he's
going to.
Well, there could be.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Tell that to Messi and Ronaldo.
Well, they're European.
But I played college softball. I love baseball. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my sport. So part of me just says, like, you know, I want to coach him. I want to teach. And I think he's good. But soccer, he's such a rough and tumble kid. I would say basketball, but I mean, look, I'm 5'2", and Nevin's like 5'10", 5'11". I just don't know that he's going to be tall. Like, I mean,
it happens every once in a while. There's a couple that lives across the street from me that neither one of them are tall, and their kid came out to be 7 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah.
And height doesn't matter in basketball. It's all about skills.
Yeah, I am going to teach him to shoot, and he is fearless. I mean, Michael, I showed you the video where he goes head first down the slide.
Yeah,
right. I mean, I always send my videos to Michael because I feel like, in terms of raising an athlete, is there a better dad to consult than Michael Thompson?
Well, LeVar, of course. boy, you know who's got athletic kids, and I'm sure he doesn't mind us bragging about him, is Mike Trudell. Have you seen his kids?
Oh, his my kids are goodness. Athletic, yeah.
I told Trudell, I said, listen, why don't you and Annie just go ahead and spend their college fund because they don't need it. They're going to get full rides.
Yeah, and they have three boys under the age of six.
Gifted. Yeah.
All right, coming up next, Game of Games.
Yes.
It's Michael's game today. Are you prepared, Michael?
It's a true-false game, so you just got to answer true or false.
Oh, that gives everybody – that even gives you a chance, Jorge.
That's right.
All right, let's go.
All right, Game of Games next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
You suffered in a wet Q-tip.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, it is time for Game of Games. Lindsay has the lead in Game of Games this month. But coming up here, starting on Thursday, the games are all worth two. The last 5 days of the month, the games are worth two. So it'll give a chance for the rest of us to catch. Bergman, you get to play. We'll give your points to Lindsay if you win. Ramona, you get to play. Jorge, you're in. I'm in because it is Michael Thompson's game today.
Yes.
And Game of Games is brought to you by PowerPro Plumbing, Heating, and Air. If it's time to replace your water heater, do what I did. Call PowerPro Plumbing, Heating, and Air. They'll take care of you with several options. They talked me into a tankless water heater that I absolutely love. Call to schedule today or go to PowerProPlumbing.com. Michael, what's your game?
True, false. I got about 33 of them, so let's go through them quickly.
33.
George, Greg, Momo, and Ireland, just answer true or false. Ireland, you keep scoring. Ready?
All right.
Go.
The star sign Aquarius is represented by a tiger. True or false?
Ramona?
False.
George?
False.
Bergman?
False.
And I will also say false, Michael, for false.
It is true.
Ooh.
What?
Really?
Four of us missed.
Meryl Streep has won only two Academy Awards. True or false?
Jorge?
True.
Greg.
False.
I'm going to say true. Ramona?
I think it's true.
False. She has won three.
Oh, okay.
So, Bergman, you're the only one that got that?
This is like the most random show. This is going to be excellent. Let's go.
Marrakesh is the capital of Morocco. True or false?
Bergman.
False.
I'm with Greg. False. George.
False.
Ramona.
I think it's true.
False. It's Rabat.
Okay. All right. So Jorge won, Greg won, John won.
Eminem. Eminem stands for Mars.
Greg, you had two.
Eminem stands for Mars and Mordale. True or false?
It's me first. I'll say false. Momo.
True.
Jorge.
I'll say true.
Greg.
False. Mars.
False. Mars and Marie.
All right. Three.
Got it.
Ramona, you said false, right?
Yeah, I've got none. So far.
No, if you said false, you got it right. So it's Greg 3,
okay.
John 2, Jorge and Ramona 1 each.
The unicorn is the national animal of Scotland. True or false?
Jorge.
False.
Greg.
I need a true in here some way. True.
I'm going false, Ramona.
I think it's false. That's so random.
It is true. The unicorn is.
Bergman running away with it. He's got four.
There are two parts. There are two parts of the body that cannot heal themselves. True or false?
Greg?
Ooh, true.
I'm going to go true. Ramona?
False. That sounds
Jorge.
Crazy.
I'll say true.
False. Only one. Your teeth.
Yeah.
Your teeth.
Oh, my God.
All right. So Greg 4, John and Ramona 2, Jorge 1. Go
this
ahead,
is a great game, Michael. This is so random.
The,
I love it.
The Great Wall is longer than the distance between London and Beijing. True or false?
I'll go true. Ramona.
I'll say true.
Jorge.
I'll say false.
Greg.
Yeah, I'm going false.
True. London is 5,000 miles away. The Great Wall is 13,000 miles long.
Okay, so this is close now. Greg 4, John 3, Ramona 3, Jorge 1. Go.
A is the most common letter used in the English language. True or false?
Ramona.
True.
Oh, Jorge.
True.
Greg.
False. E.
I'm with Greg. False.
False. And Greg and John are on the right. Okay. A lion's roar can be heard up to 5 miles away. True or false?
Jorge.
False.
Greg.
True.
I'm going true. Ramona.
I'm saying false. I think it's even farther.
It's true. It's 5 miles.
Damn. All right.
Okay, Bergman 6, Ireland 5, Ramona 3. Hey, Jorge, you got one.
Man, at least I didn't get a Curtis.
Monaco is the smallest country on Earth. True or false?
True. I'm going to say true.
All right, Ramona's true. Jorge.
False.
Greg.
False.
I'm going false.
False.
It's the Vatican.
It is the Vatican. Very good, John.
Oh,
good Catholic boy that he is. There are 5 different blood groups. True or false? 5 different blood groups. True or false?
Greg.
False.
I will go true. Ramona.
I think it's false.
I think Jorge. It's true.
It's false. There are 4.
Wow. Okay, wait. So here's the update on the scoring. Greg, 8. John, 6. Ramona, 4. Jorge, 2.
Ramona, you should get this one. You are a girl. Okay. You are a girl.
You are a girl.
Cinderella was the first Disney princess. True or false?
Ooh.
Momo?
I think that's false. I think there was one before.
Jorge?
True.
Greg?
False, Snow White.
Exactly, Greg. See, Greg's got a daughter.
That gives me the point.
Yeah.
All right.
Greg, gives me the point.
Jorge, did you get that right?
No.
No.
Okay. Greg, it's you and me now. It's 9-7.
I got wait, then am I still in it?
No, you got,
I got
4.
That one right.
We're out. We're
no,
out.
I got that one right. I got that one right.
True or
okay,
false?
You got 5 then.
True or false? Cardi B's real name is Cardigan Branigan.
That's
I'll false.
I'll go first and say false, Momo.
That's false.
Jorge.
False.
Greg.
Yeah, false.
It's true. It is false. Anybody know what a real name is?
No.
No.
Belcalis Marlenus Almanzar.
Belcalis.
No.
Belcalis.
Wow.
Belcalis.
Maybe
wow.
She should change her name to Cardi P, if you know what I mean. Well, that's stupid slow. Alaska is the biggest state in square miles. True or false?
Momo.
I think that's true.
Jorge.
True.
Greg.
True.
I think it's true.
It is true.
Yeah. All right.
Australia.
11, John 9, Ramona.
Texas
7,
would beg to differ.
George
but
4.
Alaska's
all right, Michael,
right answer.
We're going to say 5 more left.
Okay.
Go.
Australia is wider than the moon. True or false?
Bergman.
Amazing.
False.
I don't think Michael would say it if it was false. I think it's true.
I'll say true.
It is true. The moon is 2,100 miles. The Australia is 2,400
right,
miles.
Four more, wow. Greg. You got a 1 point lead over me.
Madonna's real name is Madonna Lois Simone in full.
Okay, you totally did not pronounce that correctly.
Simone. Madonna's real name is Madonna Lois Simone in full.
Well, her real. Okay. This is. We're gonna throw this question out. Her name is Madonna Louise Ciccioni. Is
like, that
what that's what I'm saying. You did not pronounce that right.
No, I was. I changed the name just to try to fool you guys.
Okay.
Right. All right. 3 more. Go.
Coffee. False. Coffee is made from berries. True or false?
Ramona.
That's true.
Jorge.
True.
Greg.
True.
I'm going true. We're all going true.
It is true.
Okay.
Your radius bone is in your leg. True or false?
Jorge.
False.
Greg.
False.
False.
Yeah, I'm going false.
Yep, it's
in your arm.
Yeah, it's the radius and ulna.
All right. Greg, I need this to catch you. All right, go ahead, Michael.
The small intestine is 3.5 times the length of your body.
True. I think that's true.
Greg?
True.
True.
I think it is true, but I have to go false.
It is true. 22 feet. Oh,
hey, Lindsay, congratulations.
Okay. True or false? Thomas Edison discovered gravity.
Keep going.
Come on, that's false.
False.
False. This is the most amazing game ever, by the way. This is so good.
All right, Greg already won it on behalf of Lindsay.
Okay. Yeah, it is false.
Should we just keep going?
No.
Good.
No, we got.
How about this one for the kids?
All right, one for the kids.
And for Momo's little boy. Lightyear's original name was Lunar Larry. True or false?
Ooh, that sounds like true.
I'm going true.
Yep, that's true.
That is true.
That's true. That's what his original name was. Well, they changed it.
Yeah,
cool. Hey, do you guys know Mickey Mouse's original name?
Michael?
No.
You all work at Disney. You should know
this.
Is it
Mortimer?
Mortimer. Very good, Bergman.
Yeah. Wow. that works. Morty Mouse. That works.
Okay, so Ramona, in the minute we have left, what's shaking on the trade deadline? Anything new?
There's a lot of names that have been out there. You caught me by surprise earlier when you asked about the Pacers and why Brogdon and Sabonis and all those names are getting out there. I did some checking to see what's going on. I don't think that's true. I think the Pacers are not going to trade Sabonis. They've basically assured him of we don't know why your name's out there.
Okay, so let me ask you about this.
He's an all-star. Why would they trade him?
Yeah, let me ask you about the timing of all this. Is it probably not until Thursday we get a trade, or we might get one today or tomorrow?
You might get one today or tomorrow. That's probably a precursor kind of trade. Like, that's the first one that starts all the dominoes rolling.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, Spock and the Jock.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Alan Sliwa and Michael Thompson get you ready for Lakers-Pelicans in New Orleans. We don't know if Lonzo's going to play tonight. And, Michael, that's an interesting thing to watch because the trade deadline's Thursday, and Lonzo came up with a mysterious hip flexor injury in the last game. I would actually be surprised if he plays tonight, but we'll see. That's coming up next. Ramona, thank you, always.
John.
And, Greg, thanks for pinch hitting. Back tomorrow. Mason's back. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.